Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome. Thanks for having me speak tonight. I certainly appreciate it. It's an honor, of course, to be up here and get to speak to a congregation such as this. And, you know, in my job, in my day job, what I do is I'm an attorney. And attorney actually is Latin. It means to take the place of. Why they say that is because you take the place of your client in court, or you take the place of your client at the negotiation table, or whatever it might be. And so, you know, I've got to represent a lot of great clients over the years, a lot of great companies, a lot of great people. But when you stand up and you give a presentation and you represent God, it is certainly a humbling experience for sure. And it's an honor to be here to get to speak tonight. John Patton reminded me before I start I need to be brief, so we'll get to cut to the chase. But Rob asked me to speak a couple weeks ago, and it's always hard to say, you know, when you're teaching on Wednesday night, you kind of know what passage you're going to teach from, so you just kind of go with whatever you have. When you're asked to speak, you have to come up with something on your own every week, and I just want to say how much I really appreciate what Brad does. I mean, coming up with two lessons a week is really difficult work. It's a lot of time goes into that, putting together the PowerPoints and all that, so, you know, we all need to continue to encourage Brad because he does a really great job. I've always been very impressed, and it's a lot to come up with material for one sermon for, you know, once a year, but to come up with two every week is, you know, that's a lot of work, and so we need to make sure we appreciate Brad and encourage him as we've continued to do. So I know Rob talked this morning, and we had a slide with a farm animal on it. I don't know much about farming, but I don't know if that, I wasn't real sure they were buying that cow or that bull or whatever it was. I don't know if they were going to kill and eat it or exactly what was going on there, but I can assure you that no animals were harmed in the presentation of this message. So not really sure what was going on there. But in all seriousness, I do have, I think, what is a pretty serious brief message for us tonight. Just a quick question that I want us to think about, as well as also a few take-home points. So without any further ado, we'll just kind of jump right into it. Starting out in the Old Testament, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And anybody that's read the book of Jeremiah knows, first of all, I find the book somewhat confusing. It's very difficult to read. But in Jeremiah, he's having this conversation with God in a lot of the book about the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah. And God's talking about how it's going to be destroyed for their rebellious ways and all the bad things that are going to happen to them. And Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet because he was a prophet during that time. And he spent a lot of his time weeping and crying over the situation because all of his brothers and sisters, his fellow Jews, a lot of bad things were going to happen to them. And they had left God behind as well. And so he had a lot to weep about. It was sort of a tough gig for Jeremiah. There's actually a Rembrandt painting of Jeremiah there, which I thought was pretty interesting that, you know, he's such an interesting figure that Rembrandt would paint him. It's not a real good copy, obviously, but it's interesting to see and kind of look at that portrait if you have a chance online. But just from Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 2, he says, "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a lodging place for travelers, so that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they are all adulterers, a crowd of unfaithful people." And basically during that time, the people have left following God. And we know from studying the Old Testament, it's kind of a hot and cold relationship with the people of God and with God. And a lot of times it's like that with us too. But with Jeremiah, they were kind of really coming to a head and bad things were really going to start to happen to him because they had really become an adulterous people. And Jeremiah was very upset about that. He was very upset about his brothers and sisters that were lost, that were hurting, that didn't know God, that had gone away from God. And he was obviously very upset, and thus he had the name the Weeping Prophet. Jesus also wept for Jerusalem. This is not a Rembrandt painting, as far as I know, but Jesus did weep for the city as well. When he comes into Jerusalem for his triumphal return, he talks about, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." He's talking about his own being there, his own coming, if they had only known. "The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." And basically, Jesus also wept for the people of Jerusalem because when he came in there, as you know, although he had the triumphal entry, just a few short days later, they were ready to crucify him, right? They didn't know him. They didn't recognize that he was the Christ. A lot of them didn't. And they crucified him. A lot of them had left God, you know. They may have honored him with their lips, the Pharisees, but their hearts were far from them, far from him, far from God. And Jesus was very upset about this. This was his chosen people, God's chosen race there in Jerusalem. he was there in the flesh to visit, and no one cared. You know, no one was excited about it. He was very upset about the sick, the lonely, the people that were without him, the whole situation. And so that sort of leads me to my question tonight. You know, we know in times of Old Testament, not just Jeremiah, others wept about the situation. They were very sad about the way things were going for their people, for their brothers and sisters. And they cried over Jerusalem, over Israel, later over Judah. So Jeremiah cried for Israel, cried for Jerusalem. Jesus did the same thing in the New Testament. He cried for the people of Jerusalem, how lost they had become, how far they had become from him. But the question is tonight, who's crying for St. Clairsville? Because we have to ask ourselves, you know, who cares about the people in our community? Everybody's here, we're excited to be here, and well, we should be. But we need to be thinking about the people outside these walls, the people that have left God, the people that have become apart from God over time. Just like the people in the Old Testament that Jeremiah wept for, just like the people in the New Testament that Jesus wept for. There are many people outside these walls that need God, and we need to be thinking about that. We need to be the ones that are concerned about them. Because if it's not going to be us, who's it going to be? Jesus teaches us that we are the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Jesus also says, right in the same passage, that we are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I think that's God's call for each and every one of us tonight. We need to make sure that we are the salt of the earth. God calls us the salt of the earth here in Matthew chapter 5. He says we're the light of the world. When I was starting to look this up, I thought it was two separate passages. I thought, oh, I got to find the salt of the earth passage and the light of the world passage. But it's not. It's right there together. It's the same two verses. Jesus gives the same example in a different way because it is that important to him. We are the light of the world. We have to let our light shine before others that others may see our good deeds. And I think that's important for us. If we're concerned about our community, if we're concerned about St. Clairsville and the surrounding Ohio Valley, if we're concerned about our country and the world, we have to make sure that we make it personal for us, that we care about the people outside of God, not just the people that are in this room. So our final point, we all must think about how we can make our light shine. And I'm not saying we need to go out and beat people over the head with the Bible and say, you're going to hell if you don't repent. You know, that's not usually a real good talking point, okay? People aren't really usually very receptive to that. Nonetheless, you still see people at Ohio State games and other places that basically carry that message. But we must all think about how we can make our individual lights shine. What can we do to make our community better? What can we do so that people can see God in us and be changed because of it? How do we let our light shine? How do we be salt of the earth? You know, salt was a really important thing in those times. Without salt, you couldn't keep meat good, and so meat would perish and other things. Salt was really important. And so we are those people. You know, I think that's always a great compliment if somebody calls you and they say, oh, you're really the salt of the earth. I think that's a great thing for someone to say about someone else. And I hope that people can say that about us, because that's what Jesus expects from us. The other thing I think it's important, and sometimes we lose sight of this, is never underestimate the power of God's working through one person. You know, God can do a lot of amazing things if you let it, and if you put the time in yourself. And I think that's something especially for the young people in the audience that are sitting here. Never underestimate your own power. You guys can do amazing things. And you look at history and you see some of the people that come from these crazy backgrounds, come from various backgrounds to rise and do amazing things for God, amazing things for their community. There are historical examples time after time after time of people who we didn't think would maybe amount to much, and they turn out to be these great people. You guys have all this talent in the world as young people. I hope that you use it, and I hope that, you know, you never underestimate your own power through working with God, because there's a lot of great things out there that need to be done, and it's up to us to do it. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And finally, let us never, should say, forget that our community needs us, and God expects us to do good deeds. And that's, I think, pretty self-evident. But, you know, as a church, as a body of believers, as a group of Christians here in this building, we need to really think about how we can do things to help our community, how we can help the poor and the needy, and we're doing a lot of great things, and that's good. But we need to make sure that we don't ever lose sight of that. We need to make sure that we know that our community needs us. Our community needs Christians. Our world needs Christian values. I mean, you look at the news today and you see all the bad stuff that goes on and you think, why is all this bad stuff going on? And I obviously don't have time to answer that tonight, but we need to know that the world needs Christian values. It needs Christian love, more maybe now than ever, but it always has and it always will. And that starts with us. The people that are here in this room tonight are the people that are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. It's our job to make sure that we do good in the community and that we let our light shine as God tells us. That's pretty much my abbreviated lesson this evening. That's really about all I have to say. I know that it's the job of the Sunday evening speaker, of course, to offer an invitation. And if you're here tonight and you've never been baptized, you've never put Jesus on in baptism, I would strongly encourage you to do that. It's been a long time for me now. I think it's been more than 20 years. But I hope that you think about that and that you consider doing it and doing it tonight. There's really no time like the present to do that. And it's been a great decision for me. It's a great thing to follow Jesus, to do as he commands, and be obedient to him. And I recommend it to anyone, and I hope that if you're thinking about that tonight, that you'll come forward, and I think Michael's got a song.